Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin Be'ezras Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 509. I came across the book by Ravram J. Twersky called The First Year of Marriage. And as I was reading through it, I see clearly, and, if he would have been alive now, I would actually do my best to contact him. Because the things that he says about the first year of marriage, which means that people would pick up this book when they're Shana Rishayna, or they're a Chasan or Kala, and reading it as learning about the handling of the first year of marriage. And that is crucial, and this is a beautiful concept, enhancing the success of your marriage right from the start, and even before it begins, to give you these concepts. And that is 100% true. Everything that's written in this book, and I started reading the first few chapters, is unbelievable. It is tremendous. Again, these things, and I reiterate it many, many times, are required reading to be an Erlich Hayid, to know what to do and how to handle marriages and to know yourself. It's crucial to learn this. It's crucial to read books like this as a hachana to marriage and study it and internalize it and work on the concepts. But what I would have told him is that all of these concepts, kamat mamish, all of them, is needed in all through marriage. And not only that, for the people that never, I picked up this book, married a while, Baruch Hashem, and many of you that are listening have been married more than 1 year already, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 30 plus years. And the concepts in this book that he's inculcating to say, know this before marriage, whenever stage you are in marriage, you need to hear these things. And you need to work on these things because the self-awareness of it will bring dramatic change. And I would have really encouraged him to, let's say, rewrite the book or write it in a format where he takes every concept in this book and applies it to marriage the way it is, even if for people who were not fortunate enough to take this book and read it pre-marriage and internalize it pre-marriage or in Shana Rishayna, that they could do so at any point in their marriage. So we're going to discuss some shiurim on the wonderful concepts in this book and apply it not just for people who are listening that are in their Shana Rishayna or Chasana Kala stages, but for people who are married many, many years to reframe their minds. The first concept is, he brings down in his Hakdama, that a person, a Adam, who does not have a wife is not a Adam. It says he created them, and he called them Adam. They are one identity as a whole person. And that happens when you're married, a husband and a wife together. That is what a wholeness is. And the Avos Rabbi Nosson, he brings, that whoever brings shalom within a home is considered as though he brings shalom throughout the entire Jewish nation. And the idea being is that you really need to believe that, and it is 100% true. Every individual listening, you build your home, your individual home. You say, what's the big deal? I'm one home in Klal Yisrael. You are building shalom throughout the Am Yisrael. You're doing your chelik in that. It's not just building your home. You're building a chelik of the binyan of Klal Yisrael as a structure, as a oneness, and bringing Mashiach closer and bringing the Shechina down. The Shechina in your home is bringing more Shechina in the entire Klal Yisrael. That's why your Shalom Bayis is not just a personal thing. You can't just say, what's the big deal? So I'm not going to work on it, or it's not. No, you're helping Klal Yisrael, not just yourself. The final bracha in the chuppah is Gila Rina Ditza V'chedva Ahava V'achva Shalom Reyus. And if we're not feeling that in our marriages, there's something wrong. And he brings here, from the time that he wrote the book, that couples in the United States that married before age 24 has a 30% divorce rate. These days it's probably even higher. There's no accurate statistics for divorce rates among Jews, Orthodox Jews. But even if it's only 10%, even if it's only 5%, which unfortunately it looks like it's more, it's a terrible terribly damaging. It used to be that it was rare. Could be always too rare. There are times where divorce is warranted. When you're dealing with abuse, you're dealing with serious situations like that, where it maybe in those olden days where there was no divorce and divorce should have happened in certain instances. But in our culture, there are still a small percent, but it does happen, where divorce is necessary. One of them is very, very toxic and they have to get out, or other situations like that. It does happen. But basically, based on all the observations of mentors and Rabbanim that actually deal with marriage couples, Rapam himself used to allude to it when he spoke to us, that a lot of it is avoidable. And a lot of divorces are unnecessary. And a lot of divorces are just people that did not work on themselves, and they would have. They could have had beautiful, beautiful marriages. Now, the changes in our culture influence the relationship of our from community. Even if you're isolated, as much as you try to push that culture out, it still seeps in. And Rav Tversky said he spoke to many marriage counselors that confirmed his own observation that young people, the way he puts it, are woefully unprepared for marriage. Woefully unprepared for marriage. There's so many misconceptions that give rise to conflicts that reinforce it. And by the time one seeks competent counseling, if they do, and many don't, serious damage is already done. And he says something that we know all along, and this is a trick problem, that unfortunately in many families, much more time is spent on arrangements for the wedding, which lasts only a few hours, than their relationship as a whole that should last as a lifetime. And that applies, by the way, where people hyper-focused on simchas, which is a beautiful thing to have simchas, of who's inviting who and how often you have to show up to this one and that one, the other one, with a total neglect of the day-to-day relationships between husbands and wives and children and so on and so forth, that takes a lot high priority beyond going to a cousin or second cousin's wedding. You have to schlep three hours here and 2 hours back, and in some situations where the wife needs you and your kids need you, there has to be a shikul hadas. But the idea being, though, is that this idea, the constant connection of a couple's relationship and how to work through that and to have solid grounding in that, is often overlooked, and we are woefully unprepared. We do not have the skills. We do not have the tools. We don't even have the proper hashkafa often. Yours truly included, I admit it. This thing that came up, Hashgacha Pratis, and really I started learning about these things when I was 15 years into my marriage, and I could be made for myself that if I would have known a lot of these concepts and internalized a lot of these concepts that I didn't know in the first 15 years that I was married, and I only learned about it later, if I would have known it before marriage, if I would have known it in Shana, if I would have picked up this book and internalized it before marriage, it would have saved me a lot of Agmas Nefesh. It would save all of you a lot of Agmas Nefesh. So a lot of it is education. If you care for your children or for people, you care for yourselves, you learn these hashkafas now. It makes no difference if you're married many, many years. You think that you have this warped concept that this is what marriage is like and it cannot change. It can change dramatically with self-work and changing your framework of things, and you could have a beautiful marriage from now on, no matter how difficult it was until now. That's an important yesod to learn, and that's why we're going to take a lot of these concepts and move to internalize it. So the first chapter, he says, he talks about, it's titled, "It's Not Business as Usual," and he tries to explain here, and it's something we all need to learn, that human beings are creatures of habits. We develop behaviors that become our second nature, ingrained in us from childhood, teenage years, the way we grew up. Now, altering that way of feeling, changing the way of acting, changing our behavior that has been ingrained, will come up with resistance. It is not easy. And like the Gemara says, "Kshein she'ein partufeim doymezelaze, kach ein deoseim partumezelaze," which means that just like their facial features are different, their thoughts, their thought processes, their feelings, their psychology is totally different. Therefore, people think differently, and that's also true with a husband and wife. Even if it's yes, you're true Zivik, you'll think very, very differently. Now, some differences may be minor, others may be more significant, but differences will happen. It's part of the Bria, and that will result in disagreement. So therefore, the first thing one needs to know is adjustment to each other's thought processes, and bending to that creates a harmonious marriage, and that is the tachlis hachayim. That is the purpose of life, is to work on one's midas, to incorporate other characteristic traits that may not be inherently natural to you, and learn about it. He says, Rav Tversky, that he wonders when he sees people kiss the mezuzah, whether this is just a, I kiss the mezuzah, or they're getting the message of the mezuzah. Mezuzah talks about Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem is one. And he says another thing, which we mentioned a few times, it's a well-known yesod, which we're going to repeat in a minute, but agav, I do want to say, and I have to work on it myself, and Rav Migdal used to stress it, when you kiss the mezuzah, Hashem is one, I love Hashem, and Hashem is watching you. All of these things are important to incorporate. That's called internalization. You're internalizing the mitzvah of mezuzah. And if we can do this daily, even if it's one time a day, really contemplating what's going on in the mezuzah, it's transformative. That's agav, a separate lesson to learn, to be self-aware every moment of the day and recognizing mitzvahs that are all around you. So he says it's a famous vart that the mezuzah is in a diagonal position because there's two opinions on halacha. One says that the mezuzah needs to be vertical, standing straight up. One says that it should be horizontal, which is going, you know, sideways, but we paskin that we do slanting, which is very, very unusual, because usually either you paskin like one or the other. There's no third day that says diagonal. It doesn't say shita shlishis diagonal. There's two shitas and we do the middle, which is unusual, so that every time you kiss the mezuzah, remember that wisdom of that compromise. The parchment protects the home, and the message of compromise protects the marriage. The mezuzah, the idea that it's bent in a slant, protects the marriage. Now, it's important to sometimes, not always, compromise. Sometimes you have to hold on to your opinion. It's healthy to do so. But even when you do so, you need to respect each other's opinion. So the slant doesn't mean that every argument that you have, you're going to compromise and do something in between. As we're going to discuss later, there are times where after discussing it, we will do it the husband's way, we will do it the wife's way. But the idea is the slanting, the compromise is in one's inner heart, respecting each other's opinion. That the divergent opinions do not result in any dysfunction. I'll repeat that. As long as their divergent opinions do not result in any dysfunction. He brings beautifully a Hasidish wedding custom. It's called a Melech's dance, where they say it originates from the Ramelach from Luzhensk, that people pair up and several pairs dance towards each other. And then when they meet, one pair raises arms to form an arch. The other ones bow down, dancing under the arch. On meeting the next pair, the pair that bowed and danced under the arch now raises their arms and forms the arch. And then the oncoming pair bows and goes under the arch. With multiple pairs, the dance is a very graceful and beautiful thing. I've seen it by Hasidisha weddings. It's beautiful. If one pair fails to raise their arms at the proper time, or the pair fails to bow when it is their turn, the pair will crash with each other. So what's the message behind this dance? Interesting if they say that it comes from a Melech of Luzhensk. Sheyiru malas chavereinu v'lech esreinam, like in the Tefillah that is said before davening, made by Rabbi Melech. The message there is that in order to avoid collision, sometimes you are the one that yields, bending underneath the arch, and sometimes you're the other partner who yields, and you're the one that's making the arch, and they're bending to you. In marriage, it's the same way. So, Be'ez Hashem, we will go through beautiful gems in this book, applying it not just to the Shana Rishayna, but to all marriage. to every single aspect of marriage, and no matter how long you're married, there are gems in this book that are life-changing. And I want to share it with you. Bracha v'atzlacha.